All Christians will spend eternity in heaven, but few want to talk about that today. Why is that? We'll talk about it next.
Our bodies are recognizable. Our personalities in many ways probably will stay the same as well. And I think that idea that we become somebody else makes heaven unappealing. So I wrote the book, A Place Called Heaven, to clear up a lot of misconceptions and hopefully to make people get ready right now for how they're going to spend eternity.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. This hour, Jan meets with the senior pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Their conversation will focus on a new book release from Dr. Jeffress, A Place Called Heaven, 10 Surprising Truths About Your Eternal Home. Pastor Jeffress and Jan are here to discuss what heaven is and what heaven is not. To get the program started, here is Jan Markell.
What is your conviction about heaven? Have you thought about it? Now, a conviction is a belief that you hold but which you're willing to take a strong stand for. What do you believe about heaven? You say, well, I hadn't really thought about it much. Well, the truth is, most people don't think about it much. When's the last time you've heard a sermon on heaven? When's the last time you've given it any serious thought unless you were in the hospital and thought you were dying? When do you think about heaven? Not many folks think about it. Many people are very, very ignorant about it. And most people have a very, very unbiblical view of what heaven's going to be like.
And welcome to the program. And we're going to talk about that for the next couple of segments because I have a new book in front of me. I'll say a little bit more about that in just a moment. Let me just have a comment here before we get into my interview, because heaven is not some fanciful imaginary destination. Jesus Christ, the one whom Christians are banking on for their eternal destiny, assures us that heaven is a real place. And if he goes to the trouble of creating such an elaborate home for us, we can be sure he will return to gather us and escort us to that indescribable new destination that he is preparing for us. Let me just say that in front of me is a new book by a good friend, Dr. Robert Jeffress, and the book is titled A Place Called Heaven, 10 Surprising Truths About Your Eternal Home. We'll talk about where you might pick that up a little bit later. Dr. Jeffress, welcome back to the program.
Great to be back, Jan. Thanks for having me.
Great book here. Let me make a comment and get your response, because, and I talk to a lot of people, and I find that an awful lot of them are earthly-minded, and I know you address this, but they live for today unless, again, they might be facing death. They'd rather not look at eternal issues. As people get older, they think about eternity. I think the very elderly certainly do, but, you know, try to get a millennial to do that. And as I said, you address that, but it's, as you say, the overwhelming responsibilities of living in this world crowd out the thoughts about living in the next world. How do we get around that?
Well, there are several ways, and that's really why I wrote A Place Called Heaven. You know, one of the great ironies, Jan, is as brief as our time is here on earth compared to the eternity of heaven, what we do in these few short years in this life really greatly determined how we spend eternity. I say in my book, what we do on earth reverberates in the halls of heaven forever. And I think there's a reason, several reasons, people don't think more about heaven. I think you touched on the fact sometimes we're so tied to this world we forget that our citizenship is in heaven, that everything in this world is one day going to be burned up. But I think, Jan, another reason is, frankly, people have a lot of myths about heaven that make it not that appealing. I mean, one of the myths a lot of people have is that heaven's going to be one long, unending church service, which, quite frankly, sounds more like hell to some people than it does heaven. And while it's true we're going to worship in heaven, it's going to be worship like we've never experienced before. We're going to do a lot more than simply worship in heaven. And I talk about what we're going to spend eternity doing, which surprises people. I think another myth people have about heaven is that when we die, suddenly we become somebody else. It's not we who go to heaven, it's somebody else. And I talk about the fact, no, our life is a continuum. When we get to heaven, it's the same person. We have the same names that we had on earth. You know, when Moses and Elijah came back to be with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, they suddenly weren't changed to Bert and Ernie. journey, it was still Moses and Elijah. Yeah. Their names. Our bodies are recognizable. Our personalities in many ways probably will stay the same as well. And I think that idea that we become somebody else makes heaven unappealing. So I wrote the book, A Place Called Heaven, to clear up a lot of misconceptions and hopefully to make people get ready right now for how they're going to spend eternity.
But why do you think, particularly pulpits are so silent about the issues of eternity? And I'll throw hell in there too, heaven and hell, and some other issues they're silent about as well. But there's no better news than the news of our eternal home in heaven. And yet I don't hear of a lot of pulpits. People aren't emailing me and telling me First Baptist Church, if you fill in the blank, has done a series on heaven. How come?
Well, I think a lot of pastors and a lot of Christians have fallen for the myth that somehow thinking about heaven makes you completely useless here on earth. You've heard the old phrase, they're so heavenly minded, yeah, they're no earthly good. I don't know about you, Jan, but I've never met a Christian who is too heavenly minded. You know, C.S. Lewis said the problem is, for most of us, is not that we think too much about heaven, it's that we think too little about it. And he goes on to say, history has shown that the people who have made the biggest difference in this world are precisely those who thought about the next world. Yeah. And his great line that he ended with was, aim at heaven and you get earth thrown in. Mm-hmm. Aim at earth and you get neither. And I think the failure to make heaven relevant in the sense of tying it to how we spend our time here on earth makes people think that the subject's irrelevant. And another thing I think is people don't talk about heaven is because to study heaven requires that you study the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I think you would agree, mm-hmm, with me. For many pastors, the Bible is out of style,
yep,
right
it
now.
Is.
Bible study is out of style. They want to speak to felt needs, and somehow they've gotten the idea that heaven doesn't meet a felt need. Well, the fact is, it's the greatest need any of us have. I mean, when you look in the news and you see hurricanes and earthquakes and chaos in Washington and international conflict, those things ought to make us, and they do make us, long for a better world.
Well,
the news, good news about heaven is there is a better world coming.
You kind of led me into this with what you just said, because we have spent a summer and fall watching trauma and tragedy. We've watched the loss of life. My understanding is on some islands in the Caribbean, there are no human beings left on it. We've had a shooting in Las Vegas. Of course, shootings are nothing new, but that one was just particularly horrific. We've had other natural disasters, including the West and the fires going on. And yet again, going back to this, Dr. Jeffress, some people want to cling to this earth. I can't wait to get away from this earth, partly because of the things I've just cited. And I hear other people telling me, you know what? I've turned off the media. I've turned off television. I'm tired of seeing people struggling. I'm tired of seeing people's entire livelihoods wiped out. I'm tired of seeing the loss of life. I've had it. And yet they still cling to this earth. So I'm back to my perplexity here.
Yeah. Well, you know, the night after the Las Vegas shooting,
yeah,
Fox asked me to come on in prime time, and the host of the primetime show on Fox, the 10 o'clock hour, asked me, why would God allow such,
yes,
a thing to happen? And I said, look, the Bible never diminishes the reality, the pain of suffering in this world, but it does add one word, and that's the word temporary.
Mm-hmm.
What we feel now, the real pain we feel now, we're not always going to feel, and the real hope of every believer is the hope of heaven. And Jan, that's why I wrote this book, A Place Called Heaven. I want it to be an encouragement, an inspiration, but I also want it to be a book of information for people. You know, I'd ask your listeners right now, if you knew, if your company told you in 6 months, we're going to move you to a foreign country, and it's going to be a permanent move. Let's say it was Paris, France, and you didn't know anything about Paris, France, but you knew you were going to be moving there in 6 months. You would start learning everything you could about that city.
That's
and
right.
That country. But, and you'd also start making preparation for the move right now that you knew was going to be permanent in 6 months. Well, the Bible says if we're Christians, we're all making a permanent move to this place called heaven. It only makes sense, Jan, that we would learn everything we can about it and start preparing now for our departure.
Amen. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from Dallas Dr. Robert Jeffress, and he was actually at one of my conference activities in 2015. And we're just off of 2017, about three weekends ago now. And by the way, we had a wonderful time. For those of you who might have missed it, we'll say more about it in a promo coming up in a few minutes. We had an absolutely jam-packed house again this year with over 6,000 people. But Dr. Jeffress is pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. You know he's a Fox News contributor. He's a member of the Executive Committee of the White House Faith Initiative. And many of you catch his daily either media from Pathway to Victory, TV, got radio, got a big outreach. And again, it's been a pleasure for me to work with Dr. Jeffress here over the years. And we're spending for at least two segments of this hour talking about his newest book. And here's how you find it. You can find it at your local Christian bookstore, A Place Called Heaven, 10 Surprising Truths About Your Eternal Home. You can find it at christianbook.com. There's a CD version, ebooks available at christianbook.com, and again, your Christian bookstore. Okay, Dr. Jeffress, just some bullet points taken out of the book. Some real quick questions, and I'll ask for some fairly quick answers, and just then we can get more information in. But you say heaven won't be the same for everyone, and I found that very intriguing. Why don't you explain that?
Yeah, the book, Jen, is built around the 10 most frequently asked questions about heaven. And one of the questions is, will heaven be the same for everyone? And the answer is a resounding no. The Bible talks explicitly about rewards in heaven that will determine the kind of heaven that we experience. And the fact is, while our good works are absolutely useless to secure our place in heaven, that's a result of grace. Our good works after we are saved, our obedience makes a tremendous difference in the kind of heaven we experience. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we as Christians will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that we may be rewarded for what we have done in the body, whether it's good or worthless. And as you know, this is a judgment not of condemnation, but it is a judgment of evaluation. When Christians say, oh, I don't have to face the judgment of God, they're absolutely wrong. We will face God's judgment. It's a different judgment from non-Christians, but it's still a very consequential judgment. And so we talk about that in A Place Called Heaven and what those rewards are going to look like and what we can do to earn them.
Is there anything that a Christian can do to keep from experiencing the fullness of heaven?
There are many things we can do, I think. You know, the fullness of heaven, some people say that's our capacity to enjoy heaven. They think that's what rewards are. That may be a part of it. It's going to be special praise from God, special privileges in heaven, special responsibilities. But what we do on earth does reverberate in the halls of heaven forever. Mm-hmm. And if we choose to spend our life on ourselves, furthering our own agenda, building our own kingdom, 1 Corinthians 3 says that will be judged to be wood, hay, and stubble. Yeah. If our life is spent pursuing God's agenda, building his kingdom, that is counted as gold, silver, and precious stones. And the Bible says if our lives are deemed to be worthless at the judgment seat of Christ, we will be saved, though as by fire. And some people say, well, I don't care about rewards. As long as I make it there, I'll be happy. Well, think again, because 1 Corinthians 3 says those whose lives are judged to be worthless will suffer loss. There will be real, measurable loss felt by Christians. Life is seen to be worthless before God, and they end up forfeiting their rewards.
Well, that leads me into another thought here, and I want to visit Revelation 21:4 for just a moment. And there we read about all the tears being wiped away, etc. Mm-hmm. And it says the former things will have passed away. I want to ask you about former things. Do you think that that's former thoughts, memories of our life here, heartaches from our life here, all of that perhaps wiped away?
I don't think God does a memory wipe. I don't think there's anything that suggests that. Again, life is a continuum, and in a way, I think much of our praise of God in heaven will be built as we see how he used all of the things in our life, the good, bad, and the horrible, to work together for his purpose. I think it's the heartache that will pass away. You know, people say, well, how could I be happy in heaven if my loved ones were perishing in hell?
Yes.
I think we have a new dimension of understanding. J.I. Packer said, the joys of heaven will not be extinguished by the horrors of hell. So whatever it's meant by he will wipe away every tear, I don't think it means we become somebody else and we have that memory wipe performed at all.
I'm going to throw an eschatological thought in here. It's not even in my notes or anything, but I don't know that I would find heaven to be all that glorious if I knew what was going on the earth below, say, during the tribulation time. And, I mean, we don't know. That's really speculation. But I wouldn't find that to be the most pleasant experience. I've read Revelation. I know what the seals and all those terrible ordeals are incredible.
Yeah, but remember, Jan, and of course you know this better than anyone, in Revelation 6, you find the saints in heaven who were martyred during the tribulation. The tribulation saints are seeing what's happening on earth, and they say, Lord, how long will you allow this evil to go unchecked? They are crying out for God's justice. So apparently they're aware of what's happening on earth, and I think at that point, Jan, we have a capacity to understand the justice and goodness of God that we just don't have here on earth.
Yep,
so
yep.
I think we're going to have our capacity to understand certainly expanded in heaven beyond what we have here on earth.
You're absolutely right, and there's a dimension now that we don't understand. Another question here. Do Christians immediately go to heaven when they die?
It's yes, as long as you understand what heaven is. You see, 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, for a Christian to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. And that means when we die, we immediately are in the presence of Jesus. Wherever that is, the Bible calls it the third heaven, paradise. It's in the presence of the Lord. There's no soul sleep. We're aware of what's happening. We're experiencing blessing. But that third heaven is not our ultimate destination, Jan. Ultimately, God's plan is for us to be right back here on this recreated earth. We were designed for this earth, not to be floating around up there somewhere. We'll be on this earth with real bodies like Jesus had, walking around. This is where our ultimate destination is going to be. John said he saw the new Jerusalem coming out of that third heaven down to earth. And so our ultimate destination is right here on earth.
All right. Talk to me then about the new heavens and the new earth. I mean, I think that's a mystery to me. I mean,
there's a lot of it that's a mystery,
yeah.
But remember, Jesus said in John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That word place, topos, a geographical location. I believe that he's talking about the new Jerusalem that's being built in heaven right now, the third heaven. I call it the ultimate and prefab housing.
Yes.
Because one day John said in Revelation 21, I saw that new Jerusalem coming out of heaven down to earth. And I talk about in my book, A Place Called Heaven, the dimensions of that city, 1,500 miles cubed. We did the estimation on that. That would be enough for 660,000 stories high, 75 acres for every person, for 20 billion people, 75 acres each. I mean, it's going to be a humongous place. So there'll be plenty of room if people are afraid there's not going to be enough room in that place called heaven.
Again, folks, you can find it. The title is A Place Called Heaven, 10 Surprising Truths About Your Eternal Home. We're not carrying it, but you can find it at your local Christian bookstore. You can find it at christianbook.com. And again, I noticed at Christian Book that you can get it in CD version, play it in your car, and it's got some great insights. When I come back, there's still a lot I want to talk to Dr. Jeffress about in the second segment. Again, you'll hear about our fall conference and the break coming up here in just a couple of minutes, and hope you'll look into the CDs and DVDs of that event back on October the 7th. I think you will be absolutely, well, informed, edified, encouraged, and inspired by anything that you might get by way of a CD or DVD from that event that was held on October the 7th. Coming back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away. Don't touch your dial.
Heaven is so exciting to talk about. We know you're enjoying today's edition of Understanding the Times, A Place Called Heaven, 10 Surprising Truths About Your Eternal Home, a new publication by today's radio guest, Robert Jeffress, cannot be found in our online web store. However, the title should be available wherever Christian books are sold. One other reminder, video and audio recordings from our most recent fall conference held on October 7th are available at olivetreeviews.org. Or you can order those conference memories when you phone 763-559-4444. Again, for conference DVDs and CDs, click on to olivetreeviews.org or call 763-559-4444. We appreciate how our listeners have rallied around this ministry with their prayers and financial support. They are making Understanding the Times one of the most listened to weekend programs in America. We are so grateful. You too can support this broadcast ministry when you mail your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Jen Markell returns with her guest, Robert Jeffress, right after this. Our recent Understanding the Times conference brought great clarification to the many issues of the day we are watching in daily headlines. They will only make sense when interpreted from the Bible. Our times are perilous. The church is caving to apostasy. America cannot be found in biblical prophecy. Europe is preparing for the Antichrist. But the good news is that Jesus Christ will return for his bride very soon. Our speakers included Amir Sarfati.
The Antichrist has to be a good friend of Israel, has to serve the interests of the people of Israel and the Jewish people, has to be liked by them to the point of even worship by them.
Pastor J.D. Farag.
The clarion call is to know that not only are we living in the last moments of world history as we know it, but we need to know what to do while there's still time.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
The enemy is working feverishly today in seminaries, denominations, and churches to pry people away from trust in the inerrant, inspired, living Word of God. And apostasy is an inside job.
Michelle Bachman.
The final judgment over Babel goes hand in hand with the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and the dawn of the messianic time, which will be centered on Zion.
Why not order complete sets of CDs and DVDs today? Five messages are offered on DVD for just $35 plus $5 shipping in the U.S. Five messages are offered on CD for $30 plus $5 shipping in the U.S. DVDs contain valuable speaker PowerPoint. Order online at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, or call us at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. You can also write to us at Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311.
The speakers have been fantastic. It is so relevant for now. It gets me just so excited about what's happening and just so excited about all the knowledge that's being displayed here. And just, we're just not hearing that kind of truth in the churches. But I'm just saying, as a rule, we're seeing a lot of churches tickling ears and not speaking truth. And I'm hearing it here. And I think the volume of people here with every room filled speaks volumes of what Jan's truths are, which are the Bible. They're speaking the truth. And I love it.
If our listeners right now were to examine their lives as God would examine them, have they spent their lives trying to please themselves, build their own kingdom, or have they really invested in God's kingdom? And these rewards, whatever they are, Paul said, are certainly worth working for and sacrificing for. But it is never too late to make a change right now and to start doing those things that are going to count for eternity.
A Place Called Heaven, 10 Surprising Truths About Your Eternal Home, a new book from Texas author and pastor Robert Jeffress, is the theme of today's Understanding the Times radio broadcast. Once again, here to talk about heaven, with First Baptist Church of Dallas Senior Pastor Jeffress, here's Jan Markell.
If Jesus doesn't return to take us to be with him, the only way you can get to heaven is to die. And that means every one of us has a chance to go to heaven because the current death rate is 100%. And unless Christ returns soon, we're all going to die. Here in our country, we seem to have lost interest in all of this. A 2003 Harris poll indicated that 82% of the American people believe in heaven. 63% said they expected to go there after they died. But you can't help but thinking of the old spiritual that says lots of folks talking about heaven ain't going there. Because you will not hear many sermons preached today about heaven, nor about hell. You will not hear about the nature of paradise that is awaiting all of those who put their trust in Christ. Heaven remains a very popular subject in the imaginations of novelists and filmmakers, but it has become a seldom discussed topic among Christian teachers and preachers of all stripes. Nobody talks about heaven anymore.
And welcome back. Remember, this program is always posted to my website, Saturday morning, olivetreeviews.org. Some of you might not be in the range of our well over 800 radio stations, but every Saturday morning you'll find Understanding the Times Radio at olivetreeviews.org. You might become a CD subscriber and you just get a CD every week of what we do on this program. Sign up for print and e-newsletters. That's how we stay in touch with you. Again, you can be a part of the conversation on our Facebook, Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries. I'm talking for the two segments with Dr. Robert Jeffress, senior pastor, First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas, a Fox News contributor. He's also part of the executive committee of the White House Faith Initiative. And you've heard Michelle Bachman on this program many times talking about that. For this particular couple of segments, we're sticking to heaven. We're not going to get into the realm of politics because I find right now heaven to be far more important and, for that matter, far more uplifting. Dr. Jeffress, again, just a few questions I'm firing kind of rapid fire at you. And again, and you talk about this in your book, A Place Called Heaven. And that is, I think a lot of us are wondering, what are we going to do up there? For one thing, it's forever and ever and ever and ever. So what do you think we might be doing? We have assignments? What do you think?
Well, as we said before the break, it's not going to be one long, unending church service. And we're not going to be floating around on a cloud plucking a harp. One thing, we have to go back to God's original intent for man. Remember when he put Adam and Eve in the garden? He said, I've made this beautiful place, but I want you to cultivate it and keep it. God said, I'm going to make you to be like me. You're a worker like I'm a worker. So that was God's original plan, where it's for us to work. And work used to be enjoyable before the fall. Mm-hmm. It was only after the fall that work became difficult because of sin infecting the world. But in the new heaven and the new earth, all of those impediments that are caused by sin that keep us from enjoying our work will be removed. We'll no longer have bodies that get tired. We'll no longer have strained relationships that make the work difficult. We'll no longer have to deal with government regulations. All of those things will be removed, and we will enjoy work like God intended. You know, what are we going to do? Well, I think we're going to be able to create just like we are here on earth. I mean, why do we think that there'll no longer be any inventions, any new things created? God gave us a gift of creativity. I mean, the iPhone, the airplane, the automobile are all creations. Who knows, but there won't be those creative things that will come about in the new world, the new heaven as well. There'll be poems to be written, books to be written. I think very well, Jan, what we do in the new heaven and earth may be a continuation of what we're doing right now.
Interesting.
I mean, think about it. Why would God waste gifts and interest on us just for the few years we have here on earth? I think very well, Jan, what we do in the new heaven and earth may be a continuation of what we're doing right now.
Interesting.
I mean, think about it. Why would God waste gifts and interest on us just for the few years we have here on earth? We continue to be the same people in heaven. You may be continuing to host stuff.
Oh, no, please.
But you know, you won't get tired of it. That's
okay.
The good thing.
Okay, well, I have a new producer. I'm hoping I'll have a new producer. No, I'm only teasing. He's sitting a few feet
I'll
away from me.
I'll sort that out.
Yeah, that's okay. Hey, I'm going to head to just a little bit of a sensitive topic here. And it's only sensitive because there are differing opinions. And I haven't really landed yet on kind of where I'm kind of going to conclude about this topic, and that's near-death experiences, because many write and give testimonies about dying and going to heaven, but they often, when they die, they come back to earth, and the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, Hebrews 9:27, and then comes the judgment. So here's my question. Number one, I want your opinion, but number two, are these even biblical? And would these suggest, these books and experiences suggest then that the Bible is insufficient?
Well, that's one of the questions I answer in A Place Called Heaven. Have some people already visited heaven? And of course, the near-death experiences I talk about, these are cases of people who are dying supposedly. They take a tour of heaven, they come back and write a best-selling book about what they saw.
Exactly.
So the question is, are these experiences real? Here's what I would say. Let's all start with saying God can do whatever he wants to do. I think we agree with that. If he wants to do that with somebody, he can. But what I would say, Jan, is there are no experiences in the Bible that correspond to today's near-death experiences. Now, I know your listeners are shouting at the radio right now, say, wait a minute, Pastor, there are all kind of examples in the Bible of God raising people from the dead. Well, yes, I agree. But in every one of those cases, the person who came back did not tell what he saw on the other side. There are plenty of resurrections in the Bible. I'm not saying that. But there is no case of somebody who died, went to heaven, came back and told what he saw. Lazarus didn't do it after 3 days being dead. When Jesus revived him from the resurrected him from the dead, he didn't tell what he saw. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 was lifted up into the third heaven, but he was told, don't repeat what you saw. So we don't have something that corresponds to near-death experiences in the Bible. And I would just say we ought to have a healthy dose of skepticism when we look at these accounts. If they contradict Scripture, then they're a deception. They're a total deception. When you hear people say, well, I saw this white light, and I wasn't a Christian. Right. I was a Mormon. I was a Hindu. Yeah. I wasn't a Christian, but I was told I was welcomed into heaven. Well, that bright light you saw, I don't doubt, was real, but that bright light may have been Satan himself, because the Bible says Satan appears as an angel of light. So if they contradict Scripture, we know they're deceptive. If what you read in these books corresponds to Scripture, then really those books are redundant. Why would you spend 1995 to read something that's already in the Bible? You know, the fact is, I think, Jan, the Bible is sufficient to tell us everything we need to know about heaven. So I'm not dismissing all of these experiences, but I think we ought to be highly skeptical of them.
And that was one of the bullet points I have in front of me, is that, and I think I took it from your book, that these books and experiences suggest that the Bible is insufficient. We're talking about Dr. Robert Jeffress's newest book, A Place Called Heaven, 10 Surprising Truths About Your Eternal Home. And folks, I have read a number of books about heaven. I think this is one of the most, well, informative and intriguing that I have read. And again, there are many out there and they're excellent, but I think this is one of my favorites. You can find it at your local Christian bookstore, and you can find it at christianbook.com. You can find it in e-version, CD version. I encourage you to do so. And I don't often sit here and talk quite that enthusiastically, but look, we are all tired of seeing the tragic headlines we have to look at on a daily basis. And I hear from you all the time. I talked to many of you at my event a few weeks ago, and you're heartbroken about the things we have to endure, we have to observe, we have to hear about the tragic stories. Well, we have a place that's going to be far, far better, and it's going to be, we're not going to have to experience any of the things that we're watching in the dark headlines. Dr. Jeffress, a couple of other things here that I want to hit by way of bullet points. What is one of the biggest misconceptions that you've heard about heaven?
Well, some of them that we've already touched upon, but I think probably the biggest misconceptions are, number one, everybody goes there. And we'll talk in a moment about, you know, what Jesus said about that. Jesus, yes, talked about a place called heaven. It's a real place, Jesus said. But Jesus also talked about a place called hell. And it is just as real as heaven is. In fact, out of the 1,330 verses in the New Testament that record the words of Jesus, 13% of them deal with the reality of hell. And Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. And so it's just really intellectually dishonest for somebody to say, well, I accept what Jesus said about heaven, but I just can't accept what he says about this hell stuff. No, God describes both places as real destinations. So that's probably the number one misconception people have, is that everybody is going to be in heaven. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me.
You write that what we do on earth reverberates in the halls of heaven forever. Now, I think I know what you mean by that, but why don't you elaborate a little bit?
Well, that's the paradox. As brief as our time is here on earth, the decisions we make, the ways we spend our time, our resources, those have eternal ramifications. Of course, the most basic decision we ever make in this life about our eternal destination is whether or not we're going to accept Christ payment for our sin. Are we going to try to enter heaven in our own righteousness? Or are we willing to say to God, God, I'm spiritually bankrupt. I need the forgiveness that Jesus offers. You know, once we die, Jan, our eternal destination is irrevocable. It is fixed forever. There are no do-overs after we die. And so, you know, in that sense, that decision reverberates in the halls of heaven or hell forever. But even after that, how we invest our time and our resources makes a difference as well. We can leverage the little bit of time we have here on earth to make an eternal difference. And so that's why we need to keep heaven in mind as we make these daily choices of whether we're going to pursue our agenda or God's agenda.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, again talking to Dr. Robert Jeffress about his newest book, A Place Called Heaven. And I think the questions are almost endless because the topic is so intriguing. Obviously, heaven is another dimension, Dr. Jeffress, and that's why it's something we can't really comprehend. It's timeless. Everything we do here on earth, it has an end. If we're suffering, it has an end. If we're sometimes a happy marriage, often it has an end. But in heaven, there's no end. And that's what's so hard for us to comprehend.
Well, that's right. And, you know, eternity, it's beyond our grasp.
It's beyond our grasp.
Here's one illustration I use in the book to just help you get an idea of what we're talking about. Imagine there's a bird that comes to sharpen its beak on the top of Mount Everest once every million years. Once every million years, this bird appears, sharpens its beak, and then flies away for a million years. By the time that bird has worn down Mount Everest into nothing, eternity will have only begun. That's the vastness that we're talking about. And by the way, that's the same eternity that applies to hell. The same Greek word, aionos, that's translated forever and ever, applies to both heaven and hell. And my predecessor at this church, Dr. W.A. Criswell, said, if you shorten by 1 minute the time people have to suffer in hell, then you have to logically lessen by the same amount of time the time people have to experience heaven, because the same word is used to describe both.
Well, and I'm going back to where we opened this conversation some minutes ago, and I get it why the pulpits are pretty silent also about hell. They don't want to make people uncomfortable, etc. But again, puzzles me why they don't want to be talking about this glorious experience known as heaven. To me, I can't make that compute. I get it why they don't want to talk about hell, but boy, we got to be encouraging people about heaven and eternity. Tell me, what is the most important thing you want people then to know about heaven?
Well, I want people to know how to get there.
Yes.
You know, we use the illustration of the going into a foreign country. To get into a foreign country, let's say like heaven, if you try to go to any foreign country here on earth, you've got to have the right passport, a proper passport. Mm-hmm. You don't get into heaven without a passport and the right spiritual passport. Let me tell this quick story I tell in the book.
Yeah,
years ago, I took our youth group from First Baptist Dallas when I was youth minister here to the Soviet Union. This was back in 1978 during the height of the Cold War. Jan, I can't tell you how anxious we were to get out of that country after 2 weeks. The night came, we were going to leave to fly to Rome, and so I sent all of the kids, 200 of them, through passport control first to get them on the other side. Sent my wife through. I was the leader, so I was the last to go through. I reached for my passport, and I couldn't find it. I searched in all of my pockets, couldn't find it. They were calling the flight. My wife was crying on the other side, seeing me in a Russian gulag for the rest of my life. So I explained to the Soviet guard the predicament. Let me assure you, he couldn't have cared less. No passport, no exit. And finally, at the last minute, a friend on the other side started laughing. He reached in his pocket and pulled out my passport that he had taken as a joke.
Oh, no.
I think he's going to end up in the other place probably for doing such a thing.
He deserves it.
I can't tell you the relief I felt as I went through that turnstile to freedom on the other side. Jan, the Bible says in Matthew 7, on the judgment day, there are going to be many people pleading with the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
Lord, let us into heaven. Didn't we do this for you? Didn't we do this? And he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. And that's why I would say to people, the most important thing you can do to prepare for your entry into heaven, be sure you've got the right passport. You know, people ask me, will Jews be in heaven? Will Hindus be in heaven? Will Catholics be in heaven? Would Baptists be in heaven? And I say the same thing. Nobody goes to heaven in a group. We go one by one through that turnstile based on our relationship with God. The only people who enter into heaven are forgiven people. And the only way to be forgiven is by the grace of Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you. That's a wonderful way to kind of wrap things up here. Again, we can talk about, like you outlined, the size of heaven. We can talk about the new heavens and the new earth. But what's really important in the few segments that we've covered, honestly, everybody needs to prepare for this experience, as you've just stated. And the consequences, Dr. Robert Jeffress, of not preparing are so unthinkable. Why don't you just kind of wrap things up with that?
Well, the consequences of not preparing are not making that initial decision to trust in Christ is to experience hell forever and ever. But that is just the first step to get ready for heaven. Most of your listeners, Jan, have already made that initial decision. But right now, we as Christians need to be preparing for our judgment before Christ to make sure that we receive rewards for what we have done. And, you know, if our listeners right now were to examine their lives as God would examine them, have they spent their lives trying to please themselves, build their own kingdom, or have they really invested in God's kingdom? And these rewards, whatever they are, Paul said, are certainly worth working for and sacrificing for. And, you know, I would say to listeners right now, if you would say, well, Pastor, as I look at my life, it's been pretty worthless, I would have to say, that may be, but it is never too late to make a change right now and to start doing those things that are going to count for eternity. And I hope my book, A Place Called Heaven, will be not only a motivation for non-Christians to trust in Christ, but it will be a motivation for Christians to begin preparing right now for that journey we're all going to make to that place called heaven.
Let me just kind of wrap this up. I'm just a few comments here by way of closing, because everyone listening right now has to face issues of eternity, and that's what we've been talking about. And you better get prepared and get acquainted, because even if you live to the age of 102, you'll spend a lot more time in the next life than this one. It's out of this world, and it's a whole lot better than what we're experiencing right here. It says in Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days and see how few they are. Heaven may be as near as the next year or next week, but God has a marvelous future for us if we're a child of the King. Dr. Jeffress, thank you. Thank you for writing the book. Thank you for all that you're doing and for the way you speak out on particularly the secular media. I particularly appreciate your bluntness and your forthrightness with all of them. So keep up the good work, and we will stay in touch.
Well, thank you, Jen, for continuing to stand in the truth. God bless your ministry.
All right, we'll talk again.
A Place Called Heaven. What a great theme to talk about. You can order an audio recording of today's broadcast when you phone 763-559-4444. Every week, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it costs us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekend media outreach, would you consider becoming our partner? Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Contributions are also accepted at olivetreeviews.org or by phone when you call 763-559-4444. Next up, the producer and director of a new motion picture based on Anita Dittman's life. 38 years ago, Jan Markell wrote the original printed version of Nita's story. WorldNet Daily and filmmaker George Escobar are working to transfer Anita's testimony to the silver screen. You don't want to miss George's update on his full-length feature project when he meets with Jan next. She'll be right back.
Seventeen years ago this month, Understanding the Times Radio began a local radio outreach in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. We started with just 1/2 hour a week and featured an interview format. A few months later, we expanded to 1 hour live, and a year later, we began our syndication efforts. Thank you for standing with us as we try to proclaim the inconvenient truth each weekend. I have tried to present some of the foremost thinkers, writers, theologians, and more to help you understand the times and contend for the faith. Why not consider a tax-deductible gift right now to keep this radio outreach on well over 800 radio outlets in North America and around the world electronically? You can give online at olivetreeviews.org or call us at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. You can also drop us a check at Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. We'll keep you apprised of today, but also give you hope for tomorrow, for the King is coming, and our message to you is to be ready and to keep looking up.
Understanding the Times continues with filmmaker George Escobar. George is here to update Jan and his efforts to bring the Anita Dittman story to the theater. George's full-length motion picture will be based on Trapped in Hitler's Hell, Anita's own 1979 biography of her life, as told to and written by Jan Markell. Now, let's rejoin the conversation.
And as soon as a teacher would know who the undesirables were, life could be very miserable. This teacher, Fräulein Kinzel, she was a super Nazi, and she just made life almost unbearable. Early on in Hitler's government, my father left us. He was the Aryan. He didn't want to be married to a Jew. When the principal, he said, Dittmann, that due to my Jewish heritage, I was permanently suspended from school. It's high time that the German government is going to cleanse our school system of riffraff such as yourself.
And we want to take just a few minutes to update you on a project I actually began a few decades ago now, and that is writing the story, the book, of Holocaust survivor Anita Dittmann. And you have heard her on this program many times, heard her at my conferences. Many of you met her back on October the 7th at my most recent conference. She was there signing books, etc. And she experienced an amazing story, saved as a young girl suffering under Adolf Hitler, left on her own as a teenager. Her mother was taken to a concentration camp. Anita was then taken eventually to a work camp. She escaped. She walked across Europe to find her mother, not knowing if she was alive or a victim of a gas chamber. This is all captivated in the book that we carry here. I wrote it, titled Trapped in Hitler's Hell, and a moving documentary goes along with it. You can get individual or separately, produced by George Escobar, who's here for an update on the made-for-theater version that WorldNet Daily, WND, hopes to make a reality in the next year. So, George Escobar, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jan, for having me. So good to be back with you.
Yeah, we need an update from you, and you are talking to major investors, and my understanding is they want you to do some fundraising, which you are doing on your own through GoFundMe. We'll get to that in a moment, because ultimately millions of dollars are needed to do this properly. Give us a quick update, and then I'll ask you some specific questions.
Sure. Well, one of the things that's happened is after our fourth major rewrite of the screenplay for Trap, we got some input from a top executive who's worked on some of the best recent faith films, such as God's Not Dead, mm-hmm. Heaven Is For Real, War Room. We wanted to get an opinion from a completely independent script company based in Hollywood. They're called Screenplay Readers. They do script analysis for studios and big-time producers. So they read our script for a fee, but the script report they came back with, you know, it's about 4 to 6 pages analyzing every aspect of the script, story, structure, character arcs, dialogue, action, all the elements in the movie. And typically a script will get three types of grades, a pass, consider, or recommend. Now, of the thousands of scripts read by these professional script readers, about 4% get a consider grade. And we were so blessed because Trapped is one of them. So they wrote in the report that if we make the revisions that they suggested, which we thought were good ones, then they said Trapped could easily go into the recommend category. And only 1% of scripts get that kind of designation.
Well, I've had Anita on here before. I've had you on. I had Rose Reed on. She's going to play Anita in this film, should it come about. And Rose is a fascinating young gal. She's a teenager herself. Everybody enjoyed really meeting her. You say this, and by the way, George, as you know, we played some of the promotional material you've made online. We played that at my conference back on October 7th so we could get even more people familiar with all of this. We'll say more about the fundraising here as we kind of close out the program, but here's what you state, you write, because you're making some comparisons to Nazi Germany and today, and that's, I think, hugely important. You say the country is in turmoil. Every day it seems to be getting worse. Anita went through the same thing as a child and teen in Germany as it became a Nazi state. Today in America, factions of militant hate are once again ascending, targeting Jews and Christians alike, and people are becoming polarized and scared. Fake news, fake politicians, fake truths are being propagated. And then you say, we believe that God has ordained and is making provision for a story like Trapped in Hitler's Hell to be told precisely at this time so we can make a difference. Talk to me about how it will make a difference.
Well, I think basically you know, God lives in the past, present, and future, and it's not accidental that God made himself known to Anita during the perilous times of the Holocaust, World War II. It was her belief in Jesus as the Messiah is what saved her and sustained her during the Holocaust and obviously afterwards. So, you know, God is the same then, now, and in the future. And we believe that this project will be an encouragement to people everywhere. You know, to those who are listening right now, I think this is an appointed time that God has set aside for you to become involved. And we really would encourage you to please help us tell God's story through Anita in this movie project.
I think it's one thing, George, to be enthused about reliving history, about exposing history, about exposing a dark time, about showing the wonderfully uplifting side of this story. And it is. Folks, the subtitle is A Young Jewish Girl Discovers the Messiah's Faithfulness in the Midst of the Holocaust. This is not a dark story. This is incredibly uplifting. It's another thing to show how it applies to today, as you're trying to do. You've just stated that. I think that this is a time of, it's over 70 years ago, it's probably 80 years ago now, it goes back to the 1930s and 1940s, so there are some people listening right now, they weren't alive at that time, they have only been alive for the last 30 years. How do you talk to them?
Well, I think having the kind of country that we have now and the things that are going on and the fact that we have racial tensions and that the kind of politicization of people's belief, and certainly, you know, Christians being under siege, those are all real things that people are experiencing, and they have seen it progressively get worse, you know, if they've been around for 30 years. I think prayers are being answered, and God is saying, I'm here, and I want to make myself known to you, and this is one of the ways that he's doing that, through Anita, through you, Jan, and your faithfulness in sustaining the story for decades now, and being patient. God's timing is always perfect, and your continued support to try and get more and more people become aware of this, I think, is one of the wonderful ways now that we have communication, you know, through the internet that didn't exist decades ago. So there's lots of things that are going on, and we're all listening and participants in it, but we need to do more, I think, as people become more aware. And that's one of the things that actually is in the story is the awareness that Anita had even as a child, and then she stood up. She had the courage to stand up against the Nazi regime as a young person. And we need to have the same thing for our faith.
This is a life-changing book, folks. Trapped in Hitler's Hell, A Young Jewish Girl Discovers the Messiah's Faithfulness in the Midst of the Holocaust. You can get it here at Olive Tree Ministries. You can get it in our store. You can call us. George Escobar's companion documentary DVD. Get that here as well. Give us a call. Find it in our store. Find it in our newsletters. They want to make a life-changing movie. George, it's going to have a salvation-type theme through it, correct? And how Anita found the Lord and how others can find salvation as well.
Absolutely. The fact that a pastor, when Pastor Ernst Hornig, a true historical figure, was brave enough, again, to take that stand against the growing Nazi threat. And when other churches, you know, were shy about that,
that's
or were
right.
scared to
right.
do any action, the same thing now. We need to be brave and embrace this kind of story and the kind of courage and God's faithfulness really shining through.
Well, I think listeners think, when they hear us say, they heard me say, this type of a project takes millions of dollars, yet their $10 gift or $25 or $100 gift could actually help this project through a GoFundMe that you've set up. Can you talk to us about that and how they find that?
So there's been a GoFundMe page that have been created for this movie, and people have been donating. And in fact, the conference attendees that you had at the Understanding the Times conference in early October, in one day they contributed $4,000. We have a goal of $120,000 for this phase of the project. As you said, it takes millions to actually make the movie in terms of production, but it takes a lot of money also. We've finished the story development phase, writing the screenplay and the storyboarding and the whole creative endeavor to then be able to show it to people and investors in particular. But to go through the whole investing process to raise those millions of dollars, it does take funds for legal expenses, travel just to meet with investors, film finance companies, promotional materials, doing some early location scouting here in the U.S. and with looking at Hungary, Poland, Czech Republic as actual location settings, just getting this in front of casting directors and actors and actresses to have a high name recognition. It's really important that people realize that even with the small amounts that they can contribute in the GoFundMe, that'll help quite a bit in taking us to the next stage.
How do they find the GoFundMe?
Well, there is a website that we've set up. They just have to go to GoFundMe, but I think you're going to put a link on it also on your ministry page. But it's, you know, GoFundMe.com/make-a-hit-movie with WND. It's rather long.
How do you want to wrap this up, George?
Well, I would encourage people to continue praying for this project, to go visit GoFundMe, and also to share this story with other people through the book and the documentary that's already been made.
Again, folks, you can get the book and the documentary here at Olive Tree Ministries, olivetreeviews.org. Just go to our store, find the book and the documentary. I wrote the book in 1979, I believe. You know, back then, George, Anita and I talked about, wouldn't it be wonderful someday to see this as a movie? Long time ago, and you folks at WND, WorldNet Daily, are trying to make that vision become a reality. And I hope that lives are changed. Lives have been changed for eternity through the book and your documentary. But I think they would be even more changed because if they could see the story acted out and all the miracles, there's so many wonderful miracles. And I know I've seen your other films, Alone Yet Not Alone, some of the other things you've done. So I've got great confidence in you, George Escobar. I want to thank you for joining me. We will stay in touch, and I will try to continue to get the good news out that this is it's going to be a reality, folks. Would you not only think about giving, as he's already said, but think about praying for the Trapped in Hitler's Hell film made for theater film. George, we'll stay in touch.
Thank you so much, Jan.
All right. We'll talk again. Folks, I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every week, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it cost us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekend media outreach, would you consider becoming our partner? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. They need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour of discussion to point out the dangers in today's culture and to bring hope through faith in Jesus Christ. Do consider joining us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Contributions are also accepted at olivetreeviews.org. or by phone when you call 763-559-4444. Don't forget, global updates with a biblical worldview are yours around the clock at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you very soon. We appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her media team. Next week, Jan Markell returns with another information and inspiration-packed hour designed to help you understand the times.